You're listening to Rock of Ages, where I introduce my theater kid friends to my favorite classic rock albums. And when we look at a concert album or a rock opera, they introduce me to their favorite musicals.
Society. God save the little duck, Bonneville and variety. We are the Desperate Dan Appreciation Society. God save strawberry jam and all the different varieties. Preserving the old ways from being abused. Protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more can we do?
Hey everyone, today we're going to be talking about The Kinks, or the Village Green Preservation Society by The Kinks. With me, I have Paul.
I'm glad to be a member.
And Romy.
I'm just glad that Kate isn't here.
The Kinks are the Village Green Preservation Society. It's the sixth studio album by English rock band The Kinks, released in November 1968 on Pi Records. Produced by Ray Davies, the genres are pop rock, baroque pop, and folk pop. And from All Music Review, Stephen Thomas Erlewine. Ray Davies' sentimental, nostalgic streak emerged on Something Else by The Kinks, but it developed into a manifesto on the Village Green Preservation Society, a concept album lamenting the passing of old-fashioned English traditions. As the opening title says, The Kinks, meaning Ray himself in this case, were for preserving draught beer and virginity, and throughout the rest of the album he creates a series of stories, sketches, and characters about a picturesque England that never really was. It's a lovely, gentle album evoking a small British country town and drawing the listener into its lazy rhythms and sensibilities. Although there is an undercurrent of regret running through the album, Davies' fondness for the past is warm, making the album feel like a sweet, hazy dream. And considering the subdued performances and the detailed instrumentations, it's not surprising that the record feels more like a Ray Davies solo project than the Kinks album. The bluesy shuffle of Last of the Steam-Powered Trains is the closest the album comes to rock and roll, and Dave Davies' cameo on the menacing Wicked Annabella comes as surprise since the album is so calm. But calm doesn't mean tame or bland. There are endless layers of musical and lyrical innovation on the Village Green Preservation Society, and its defiantly British sensibilities became the foundation of generations of British guitar pop. All right, what do we think of The Kinks or the Village Green Preservation Society by The Kinks? Also known as the Village Green Preservation Society. Yeah, it's like Tyler James said, British.
British. My parents think they're British. Sometimes I wish I was a dog.
Sometimes I wish I was the Kinks in 1968 when they wrote this.
When they wrote the Kinks of the Village Green Preservation Society.
Guys, this is one of my favorite pop albums of the 1960s, let alone of all time. I am so glad that Kate is not here to shit on it because it's not the Beatles. What's this about a quote, Paul?
I do have, never mind. It was a quote from Infinity Train. We're past that now.
Oh, yeah. Is this about the cat that hates British people?
Yeah. Yeah. British.
Yeah. I don't watch Infinity Train, but that was a funny scene. And there's not much left I could say about this album that I haven't said to friends previously, because I just love it so much. It's just... Disclosure, I got into this album in November of 2021. When I felt like, oh boy, I think I've reached a limit of classic rock that I could listen to. Like, there's not really much classic rock I can listen to that I haven't already checked out. But that's when I looked at the Kinks, and I listened to this album. Starstruck was the first song off this album that I listened to. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this music is awesome. Why haven't I, or why haven't any of us heard it before? Because I'm sure we all know You Really Got Me. That's like the Kinks' best-known hit. But how is it that the Beatles' entire catalog is like well-known by like a quarter of the population, and yet we only know like one little sliver of this great band?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think it stems mainly from the fact that the Kinks were not outright banned from playing in the United States, but they were not welcomed back. And they wouldn't be welcomed back for 5 years after 1965. So, like, the Kinks could have easily played songs off this album to make it more popular in the United States. but they couldn't because they weren't allowed to. And by the time the Kinks did start selling out stadiums, they were long past this musical phase. So, I don't know if
What was this album popular in Britain?
When was it popular? Countries?
Like, was this album in particular popular outside of the United States?
It sold 100,000 units in the United Kingdom. I can't find anything in the United States. I don't think it charted anywhere either, because I see I could see some charts for like Belgium, Germany, Spain, the UK, but these are for the 50th anniversary remaster. Like, I'm not even sure if this album did anything, honestly.
It's really weird, because it is a really great album, and this is a famous band, by all respects.
Yeah, I'm looking at the charts for their next album, Arthur, which was released a year after this, and that reached number 105 in the U.S., but I'm not sure if I could find anything on the Wikipedia for where this charted, if it even charted at all. It says here that Robert Christgau, our very own Robert Christgau, was one of the very few critics who supported the album when it was released in the United States. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, and this album was very popular with like the underground critics and like you would call them hipsters. I guess me a hipster?
Yeah, but that is a rare Christgau W.
Yeah. He gave the Gex some good scores. That's a W. I think consistently throughout his career, Robert Christgau has a lot of W's. It's just sprinkled in with far too many L's.
Yeah, too many nuclear takes for us to take you seriously.
Too many
Robert.
Sad faces towards the Blue Album. But yeah, like the critics loved it. This was a critical success for the Kinks in the United States, but it was a commercial disaster, which kind of confuses me because, like, I'm probably wrong in this, but I'm sure there are people out there who use like what the critics say as what they're gonna buy their albums. Like, if this critic likes this album, then I'm gonna buy the album too. But now I've realized that there's also the radio. That plays a really big part in it. And singles. So
yeah, I remember the most recent On the Shadows video about
Faith Hill.
I'm thinking Faith Hill. Yeah, and about how her album Cry was like it went 4 times platinum, and it was a big album. All the critics hated it, and it doesn't matter how much it sells. What matters is, does it get radio play? And the radio people did not like this album, and so they didn't play it. They would say, okay, here's that one single, and then we never want to play another Faith Hill song again.
That's kind of, I think that's kind of how the United States were to this album. Like, Starstruck was the first single released, and I think that was the only single that got some radio play in the United States, but it barely got any sort of thing that resembles radio play. So, and there's also the thought, I said that this album was released in November 1968, but I didn't say the date, and that date is November 22nd. And do you want to know what other album was released on November 22nd?
What?
The White Album.
Oh.
And there's another big reason why it didn't succeed. Competition. Like, this came out right at the heels of Beggar's Banquet by Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin's self-titled debut. Like, when you're going up against two juggernauts like that, this quaint, nice little British album, it kind of feels, it just, it kind of, it pales in comparison. Yeah, it's, like you said, lost, in, it's expected to be lost in the shuffle. But I'm glad that people are starting to recognize what a great album this is, because like I said, this is just a classic album for me. I loved it, and I kind of made a mistake having Face to Face be the first Kinks album we looked at on this podcast, because I still do like that album, but in terms of Kinks albums you're going to introduce to your theater kid friends, Face to Face is not one of them. Maybe Sunny Afternoon is an awesome song, one of the greatest songs of the 60s, but like, it sounds cheap, and it sounds too much like the British Invasion era British rock. Like, sure, you could hear them trying to branch out on that album, but for the most part, they're still stuck in the British Invasion formula. But here, they have finally broken out, and they have truly blossomed into the Village Green Preservation Society.
Picture yourself when you're getting old. You sat by the fireside, pondering on. Picture book, pictures of your mama, taken by your papa.
To say, as much as people would like to compare the Kinks to the Beatles, I heard a lot of different influences for later songs in this album. Like, I was like, hey, that sounds like the second song on the album sounded, the beginning sounded a lot like the beginning of Mr. Blue Sky to me.
It does, yeah.
That drum roll.
Yeah. And also, Phenomenal Cat, it's just a blatant Syd Barrett ripoff. No, not a ripoff. They're making fun of it. It's so funny. Like, this is literally the gnome. Like, there was this cat. He was fat and he liked to eat. He traveled the world to eat. He went back home and he ate forever.
It's like the hungry, hungry caterpillar, except it's a cat, so it never turns into anything other than a cat.
Garfield.
Yep.
And as also, Garfield, I remember there was a Garfield cartoon and he spun a wheel. He spun the wheel and it was sleep, eat, sleep, eat, sleep, eat, sleep, eat.
It didn't have Village Green Preservation Society on it or anything?
Nope, unfortunately no.
There's also Wicked Annabella, which is kind of a take on like the heavier Pink Floyd songs of that era. It's about like a witch that lures children into her evil mansion and it cooks. Which is a weird thing to say about a song about a witch who cooks children.
You think this inspired Annabelle? Or do you think that was based on a true story?
I think Annabelle was based on a true story. I mean, it was a spinoff of The Conjuring, so.
Okay.
Damn it. I remember seeing ads for Annabelle when I was like 10. They fucking traumatized me.
I remember seeing ads for Coraline and that traumatized me.
Yeah. I don't know.
Coraline will do that to you. Great movie, though.
Early 2000s PBS stuff. I don't know. There was some stuff that traumatized me. I don't remember what it was, but yeah,
I mean, we don't have to go through your trauma right now. We can still talk about the Kinks or the Village Green Preservation Society.
Yeah, because they are the Village Green Preservation Society.
Mm-hmm. We proudly support the Village Green Preservation Society and their transition. So, do we have any favorite songs on here?
I really, really love Animal Farm.
Oh yeah, that
is. There was no fascism, and it was all comfort.
Yes, this is what all Animal Farm should strive to be like. That's just I want to be there. I want to be there to quote the song.
I like Monica because it reminds me of just Monica.
It reminded me of Doki Doki Literature Club.
Yeah.
And Starstruck made me think of the Disney Channel original movie Starstruck.
I know that exists. I have not seen it because
me
it
neither.
Before my time, and unless I lose a bet or something, I'm never seeing Starstruck because I highly doubt it uses that song in the movie. So why would I see it? Waste my valuable time on a song that is such a bop. The bridge is just pure comfort. In a song that's about how the city is going to turn you into a husk of your former self. Yeah, the melodies on this album are such a bop, and the lyrics are so like they're so like smart and sarcastic and heady and yet accessible at the same time. It's just I fell in love with this album the very first time I heard it, and no man on this planet can waver my love for this album. I will say, though, Phenomenal Cat, it's super funny, don't get me wrong, but on its placement on the album, it doesn't feel a little out of place.
Yeah, but I guess that's kind of the point, like it's so out of place that it comes in between Starstruck and All of My Friends Were There, that it kind of stands out as something as if, I think that standing out more makes it... gives you a better idea of what the song is going for.
Fair enough, yeah.
Like, it's not on an album that has a bunch of sillier songs on it. It's on an album that has a lot of nostalgia in it.
Yeah. And since we're on the subject, I never did like "All My Friends Were There" much either. Those are the only two songs that I'm like, I'm not really listening to again. And for "All My Friends Were There," I think it's kind of a production thing, because it kind of sounds cheaper the same way that "Face to Face" or something else sounds. I figured that you two would like it more than I do, because it's music hall, and musical theater is closely related to musical hall or something. But hey, these guys are so British. Like, of course they do a music hall song on their rock album. The Beatles would never do me like that. They would never do a music hall song. Ain't that right, when I'm 64?
Yeah.
Yeah. But aside from that, again, just a classic. I've seen a few people diss on Last of the Steam Power Trains just because the song's too, like, heavy to belong on this pastoral record. But that riff, hot damn. I like the riff.
Yeah. It was actually the first song, like, on the first listen of this album, that was the first song that really caught my eye, or ear.
Which makes sense, yeah. Fun fact, the riff is lifted from Howlin' Wolf, the famous blues band. The Kinks were ripping off the famous blues band before Led Zeppelin made it cool.
Well, a lot of the songs definitely are blues-inspired. Yeah. But I wouldn't doubt that it was definitely influenced somewhere. Yeah. To know that they took a riff from another song, but used it effectively, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
Smokestack Lightning was the name of the song they lifted the riff from.
Got it.
And smokestacks are on trains. Trains are the subject of Last of the Steam Power Trains, which is about the closing down of, like, the British engine lines, I think. Yeah, the song was recorded 2 months after steam trains were retired from passenger service in the UK. The song relates to the Village Green's themes of preservation and the reconciling of past and present. So, I can't get enough of this album. And I'm going to be honest, Big Sky is a better anti-religion song, or at least anti. I'm losing my words.
It's not anti-religion, but it is definitely a satire of religion.
Yeah, Big Sky is a better anti-organized religion song than Imagine. That's my take. Yeah,
I am surprised how much I grew on Big Sky. It has that nice talk song.
That kind of turned me off the first time I heard it, but now I'm like, yes, the Big Sky does look down on all the children on the right. The Big Sky is too big to sympathize.
It kind of reminded me of, and it's a weird comparison, but like I had seen a horror movie a couple years ago called Barbarian, and in the movie they used a song, I think it's called Ricky Tiki Tavi or something, and it has a whole section where the guy just speak talks. It's sort of like Ricky Tiki Tavi, Mongoose is gone.
I'll have to search up that song if it exists.
It is a goofy song.
Yeah, Big Sky is a great song. Not my favorite song called Big Sky. I think it would be a better song if Ray Davies was talking about how they never understood him. They never really tried. We gotta listen to more Kate Bush, people.
Oh, I just kind of tuned out for a second.
So, can we talk about those sick-ass rhymes that Ray Davies puts on the title track?
Yes.
Yeah, he was...
Play.
Bob Dylan walked so Ray Davies could run. God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta search up these lyrics, though, because they're just so good.
While you do that, even though I don't know too much on the lyrics of all these songs, I did want to point out that I like the sort of connection between picture book and people take pictures of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Just sort of, it's about pictures and looking back on the meaning of what is it to have pictures of the past.
Yeah.
And sort of that distant nostalgic look into it. Like, yeah. I guess people take pictures of each other is a lot more blatant about it.
Yeah. Like, just looking at pictures is replacing human emotion. And I guess all that jazz. It's heady.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen to these bars. We are the Sherlock Holmes English-speaking vernacular. Help save Fu Manchu, Moriarty, and Dracula. We are the office block persecution affinity. God save Little Shop's China Cup's virginity. We are the skyscraper town condemnation affiliates. God save Tudor House's antique tables and billiards. I couldn't come up with this if I tried, or even if I didn't try.
No, yeah. definitely. The first song on this album is some of the most ridiculous rhymes I've ever heard, and I love every single one because every ridiculous rhyme works so well. He rhymed vernacular with Dracula.
Yeah, and it's endearing. So much more endearing in the way that Wish tried to be endearing with its non-rhyming lyrics.
Try R.
Real. What were they smoking, honestly? Definitely not what Ray Davies was smoking, I'll tell you that.
Baby, you don't know what you're saying, because you're a victim of bright city lights, but your mind is not right. You think the world's at your feet, because you're starstruck, baby, starstruck. You're taking it by the light.
Picture Book, probably the second best song on the album, just because it's got great themes of what is nostalgia, what does it mean. I don't know. I think this album might be a little bit too heady for me to understand all the themes that Ray Davies is trying to convey here, but I still love it because it sounds cool.
Like, why did he name a song after the Orwell book, despite the fact it has nothing to do with the Orwell book? Is it just because he liked the name?
Perhaps he was trying to subvert our expectations.
It was because literally 1984.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what? Oh, wait, that doesn't make sense.
No, it would not be 1984 for another 16 years. But yeah, for the Village Green Preservation Society is the title track, but Village Green was the first song to be recorded for this album a year before its release. And it's kind of like a dark reprise of the Village Green Preservation Society. Even it's in a minor key, which is funny because it was recorded before Village Green Preservation Society was even a thing. But it's still
cool.
So
they wrote Village Green before Village Green Preservation Society.
Yeah, I guess Ray Davies wrote Village Green and was like, man, I love the Village Green so much. I miss them. You know, there should be a society to preserve them forever. Wait a minute!
Maybe it was meant to be satire on that. Like, he wrote Village Green first and then thought, well, there's this one guy that's not allowed to, that doesn't want to go back there or can't go back there. I can't remember. Can he go back there? Does he not want to go back there?
I think he can go back there. It's just going to be weird because the girl he was in love with now marries a guy. He's married Tom the Grocer Boy, who now owns a grocery.
Oh, yes. Okay. So there's, and you have, this guy doesn't want to go back because of events that have happened. But then you got to think, hey, wait a minute. What if I wrote, but there's got to be other people besides him. There are probably people that want to keep the Village Green. And so he wrote this whole satire song about how people want all the old ways to come back. Like, we want English vernacular back. We want to get rid of all the skyscrapers. Condemnation of the skyscrapers.
Yeah. We want our pictures and our birthday suits, and we want them now.
Oh, I also really liked Sitting by the Riverside.
Oh, yeah. That
gave me sort of like an eerie saloon song.
Yeah. I kind of got that too. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna kind of quote Brian Eno here. What he said about the Velvet Underground and Nico's self-titled album. This album, like this sold like barely any units outside of its domestic country. But everyone who did buy this album outside of its domestic country started a rock band or something like that.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I could see a lot of influences on not just British, but a lot of American bands as well. I'm not going to name those American bands because I don't think I've listened to them yet. But domestically, we have a British band called XTC, which I got into last year. And they take a lot from the Kinks rulebook. And I just think they're a really good band. I've got Skylarking on the wheel. And I'm highly thinking some more of their albums on the wheel, too. So that should be fun to look at. Some other bands that were inspired by this album were The Jam and Blur, Pulp, and Oasis.
Ooh.
Which is weird because I thought they were supposed to be the Beatles band. Yeah. Townshend liked this album too. Pete Townshend.
Oh.
Yeah. He called the Village Great Preservation Society Ray Davies' Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah.
So imagine if Robert Christgau didn't like this album, and in his review he said, "The plus is because Pete Townshend likes it, but this is ersatz shit."
It's not like I like it or anything.
Yeah. I'm glad we live in a Village Great Preservation Society where Robert Christgau likes this album.
Yeah.
I actually saw that Christgau actually has like a full-on essay about the Kinks or the Village Great Preservation Society. But I chose not to read that because if I did, it would take 30 minutes.
Oh, it's like a 7-page essay. Got it.
Well, there's no pages. It's on his official website. But I could definitely share it with you guys, though, when we're done here.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. I'll start off with the ratings first. I'm going to give this a 9.5. This is just one of my favorite pop or rock albums of all time. I feel so bad that it didn't get its due when it was released. It had some steady competition.
Indicated by history.
Yeah, and didn't get radio play, but the critics loved it. But yeah, we finally got our Kinks vindication, our Kinkdication, if you will. And would I recommend this to a theater kid? I would, because the British sensibilities that are on this album, in both in the music and the lyrics, I think would convey a lot with a typical theater kid's taste in music and, like, lyrics. Like, when Ray Davies, like, says something snarky or witty in one of his songs, the theater kids are gonna be like, hey, this kind of reminds me of something from one of these old vaudeville musicals, or maybe even one of the witty lines of one of the modern musicals. So I think they'd really enjoy this album much more than Face to Face, honestly. So
I agree.
Yeah, and how about you, Paul?
Well, I really wanted to do more research into this album. I just never got the chance to because I've been busy this week. But I've listened to this album like 3 times over, and it's gotten better with each listen. I love the instrumentation and the mixing of everything. I love the changes in style from song to song, variety. From the lyrics I did understand, I liked those. The lyrics are a masterpiece. Dracula, baby. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And Johnny Thunder is probably... All right, this is a hot take. Johnny Thunder is better than Flash Gordon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Johnny Thunder was the worst song on the album.
Nope.
But I'm not gonna fight you, though, because honestly, I don't think much about Flash Gordon.
Yeah, I give it an 8.5. I mean, there's like a little bit of DNA with Odyssey and Oracle, but... and other Kinks works, but it's great.
What were you gonna say? You were about to say a rating, Paul.
Yeah, 8.5 as well.
All right, we did it. A happy Kinks episode. I never even knew Huzzah. This could be possible, but who knew? And guess
Maybe
what?
Next time we do the Kinks, I'll actually do research.
All right, definitely. So, believe it or not, this is a concept album about preservation. Yeah. And societies.
Society.
Exactly.
Society.
Which means we get to do a musical for next episode. And I kind of missed this opportunity the first time we did the Kinks. And honestly, I'm not going to miss this opportunity again. So the next album, the next musical be looking at is Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
This world is big and wild and half insane. Take me where real animals are playing. Just a dirty old check with a hand on.